Okay, welcome to the show. One Point Shot, Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Your Wednesday night broadcast, go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button, send much-needed fundage. You can purchase free speech by calling in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. You can mail your check-in to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And whether you mail it in or call it in or PayPal it in, you're purchasing free speech. And for every $100 worth that you purchase, you get an RBN mug or a t-shirt. Just let them know what your size is and your mailing address so that we can get that to you. Speaking of free speech, we had free speech aplenty here in West Kentucky, and we're going to continue to have it. I was at a school board meeting, and I didn't know if I would make it back, so I sent the bat signal out and to get my trusty Cape Crusader to fill in for me just in case. I did make it back, and he is here, Dr. Patrick Slattery. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeremy. And I think what we're starting to see here is that, you know, I've been wondering, where are the demonstrations? Where's the pushback? Well, the pushback seems to be coming at school board meetings.
Yes, that's what we heard last night. One of our callers, I believe from Virginia, wasn't it Chris from Virginia? And the school board meeting that he described last night was really a lot like the one that I was in tonight. Now, in my small county, you're talking about from preschool to 12th grade, 750 students, really close to the river, very rural area, you know, like 80% just salt of the earth, Trump voters, hate all of this COVID stuff, don't care if COVID's real or not, we're done with the mandates. I mean, that's where everyone is at. Now, the particular school board, I think you had the board had to meet in the gym. They originally was going to do it in the cafeteria, and too many people were piling in, so we went to the gym. I think there was an estimated 150, 160 parents there. Maybe it doesn't sound like a lot if you're from a big area, but that was a lot for this area. You know, that's not normal for a school board meeting. Because, you know, and they predominantly are representing the high school and middle school. You did have parents from all grades, but basically the people that cared about this to push back were there. And everyone was sort of quiet at first. I did get to give the first speech, and it was exactly like what we, you know, it was the same layout that we had last night. This is not about masks or debating the virus, the efficacy of masks or vaccines or what this vaccine is. I said, this is about, do you want to give the governments and corporations the right to mandate what you put into your body? Because if you give them this on the mask, then they'll mandate the vaccine, critical race theory, and LGBTQ classes, child training classes. And I couldn't hardly get through the speech because the people breaking out in applause. And I looked back, and if you remember the situation, the school board is on our side. They're not wanting the masks, but the superintendent was hesitant. And I could just see it in his eyes when the people started breaking out. That sort of was an icebreaker speech. And I went and sat down. You know, I looked at the superintendent, looked at the school board, and I said, "We need you to fight for us, for the rights of our kids." And I went and sat down, and this person after person got up. And I'm telling you, it's as if they all listened to our shows on RBN. It's as if they had the same talking points. We don't care about this virus. We're through with the mandates. It's never going to end. And basically what they did, all of the parents in there in unison, and I mean, I didn't see any pro-vax, pro-COVID person in there. Nobody got up. There was one female with a mask on that just said she wants her kids to be able to do online learning at home. And we're all like, sure, whatever floats your boat, lady. And then she went and sat down. Everybody else was like, we're done with this. And are you going to punish our students if they don't wear the mask? You like that? They're asking my question. What are you going to do if I don't put it on, right? And the superintendent said, no, we're not going to punish them. And everybody is like, you know, we are done. The ball's in your corner to make this official. So the answer that the superintendent, the legal counsel that was represented, as well as the school board, the answer they gave us was, well, we can't come out and say we're going to violate the executive order. They said if we do, then people from Louisville and Lexington and Frankfort will come in here and take over your school. They'll shut your school down. To which a lot of us got up and yelled, well, we will run them out. People were legit pissed. Not even lying. He said something to say about that, Patrick?
I like that. I like that.
No, that was the attitude, like, of everyone. And I get it. And as an educator, I know you get it. The superintendent, he's got a six-figure salary that he's juggling here, and he don't want to lose that. But he's also has a room of angry parents that are only like maybe half of the parents that really wanted that really feel this way. They're just a small representative, and these parents are basically saying our kids are not coming here with masks, and we're not playing this game anymore. And if you don't like it, we'll take our kids out, or we'll just do it anyway. What are you going to do about it? And so, like I said, their answer was, we need to go through legal procedures. We need to do this. There's a gray area. And the people were all, I mean, like, people were getting up and saying, fine. Like, people were just standing up and taking the mic and speaking. And they were like, fine. You do what you got to do, but we've already made our decision. And every time someone said that, the entire gymnasium, like, erupted in applause. That's how I know it was, you know, like, everyone was on the same page here. Mm. It was a beautiful sight. And so you've got this going on in other counties too, and I'm gonna pull up some headlines of other surrounding counties. But do you have something else, any more comments on maybe what you make of my report of the school meeting?
Well, first of all, I think it's I do genuinely thank you for your service, and I think it's important that you went first. There needs to be a pace setter, there needs to be an icebreaker, and there may have been a lot of people who were behind you who might have been reluctant to say certain things. So I'm glad you went. And it does look like the school boards, this is going to be the best forum right now for pushing back, because there's, you know, a lot of people who are being forced into masks and vaccines and whatnot. Are vulnerable. If you've got a job and you're dependent on that income, you're vulnerable. University students were amongst the first who were being pushed towards vaccines, and because of the economics of university nowadays, these people are vulnerable. But public school parents are paying the bill, right? And yeah. they are, and it's their kids, and their kids are young, and they are, I mean, they've had to go through a year of at home so-called learning, which is not learning, which interfered with their ability to earn a livelihood, it's messing up their kids' mental health, and you would think that an awful lot of them would have had it up to here, which is way up. You see how high my hand is. It's way up here. And apparently that's the case.
Well, like I said, our district is small here with 750 students total. But you've got, you know, Graves County and McCracken County and Carlisle County and Marshall County with over 4,000 to 5,000 students each that are all, you know, being affected and standing up too. Particularly, I wanted to highlight Marshall County. Some of the listeners may remember a few years back, there was a school shooting there. It just like totally, I mean, it shocked the whole community. Small town, like literally Mayberry RFD guy. And some kid, some 14-year-old walked into his high school and just started shooting people. But anyway, that school district in Marshall, the superintendent, Mr. Miracle, is basically making it public that he is not going to enforce this. It says Marshall County School Superintendent Steve Miracle just told me he will direct staff not to discipline students who don't wear a mask. And this comes after Governor Andy Beshear mandated that everyone, kindergarten through 12, wear a mask indoors. That made the local news, WPSD, in Paducah. I think I made the local news. They don't have it up on their site yet, but they were filming like the entire school board meeting tonight. And my speech was the first. So if we get that, I'll try to post it and play it live on air. But it's not been released yet. But, yeah, the questions that people were asking, what happens if we don't? That was the theme of tonight. I'm not even lying, dude. What happens if we don't? And the answer was, well, they could come in and shut us down. And we were all talking amongst ourselves and we're like, Second Amendment? People were actually going there. Nobody openly said that. But people were actually going there in private conversations. And I'm trying not to Fed post. Like, I'm trying real hard.
Right. Well, without being Fed posty, I remember years ago, because, you know, I'm a university professor and I'm from a very different milieu. And, but, you know, being asked about the Second Amendment, and I said, if I don't protect the Second Amendment with my First Amendment rights, how am I going to expect anybody to protect my First Amendment rights when the time comes, right? So, I'm trying to Fed post.
No, and we're not. But I mean, we're having to deal with this. You know, in the same way that like Fox News, like Tucker, I mean, you know, he knows the truth. He can't say it, but he has to deal with what the right wing is talking about. He has no choice. He has to deal with it, whether he wants to or not. We have to deal with this now, and we want to. We're having to deal with people that are saying, like in large numbers, you know, we've drawn a line in the sand. Like one speaker got up, one of the parents got up and like drew a line with his foot on the gym floor, like he was in the sand. And he's like, that's it. We're done. We've made our decision. What are you guys going to do? That was the message to them. You know, and it was great. So also the suggestion was made to the superintendents to all get together. And they have been. Everybody west of the Kentucky Lake. Mm-hmm. Has all gotten together, and they're going to stand strong. I mean, it will be very difficult for the governor or the feds to try to come in and take care of that many counties. It's going to be very difficult.
Yeah, and maybe this really has to be the rural people who are leading this. You know, you walk around the suburbs and you see all the Black Lives Matter yard signs, and these people have been, you know, it's a combination of being bought off with, you know, in some cases, in some neighborhoods, with decent jobs and not wanting to risk it, the indoctrination, the intimidation from being just maybe a mile or two away from riots last year where the police were not protecting their own patrol cars. And so who's protecting your house? And, you know, country folk are tougher than city folk. They just are. So,
well, I mean,
it's science.
We can skin a buck and run a trot line. I mean, what can you say to that?
Means, so there you go.
Well, and look, it's like the entirety of Kentucky. All the lower level judges, most of the populace, I mean, they're pushing on this. And it's really only the governor and the Kentucky Supreme Court that are coming down on us, that are pushing back. Our very based attorney, Daniel Cameron, Attorney General, here's his statement. I'm going to read the statement. I think it's very good. I'm very happy with Daniel Cameron. I think he could be one of our guys. Seriously. He and his family can come in our parallel ethnostate. I'm just going to say that right now. Based black guy. A Kentucky circuit court judge issued a binding injunction against the governor and said that he must follow the laws passed by the General Assembly. Yesterday, Tuesday, the governor directly ignored the court and engaged in an unlawful exercise of power by using his executive order. And let me just remind the audience that what's going on here is the General Assembly in Kentucky laws that are pending review by the Kentucky Supreme Court, stating that Bashir cannot do these things. He cannot just issue these executive orders and limit his emergency powers. So while this is all being held up in the courts, Bashir issued this mask mandate for all the schools. So going on to read the statement from Cameron, the legitimacy of our government depends on the governor respecting the judicial power of the courts and the lawmaking power of the legislature. And right now, he's disregarding both. The governor does not have to choose between following the science and following the law. The two can and should work together if he believes the science requires a statewide mask mandate for schools and child care centers. Then he needs to do what the law requires and work with the General Assembly to put the necessary health precautions in place. The matter remains before the Supreme Court, and the court will now review our arguments and determine what process the governor must follow, Daniel Cameron. That's all well and good, but I'm telling you right now, because I've seen it last year, the state Supreme Court's going to follow, they're going to side with Bashir and the COVID virus regime. So that's how that's going to go down. So we've got to make up our minds, and this was the mentality of the people, that we've made our decision, and we're going to stand for freedom regardless of what people on the other side of the state say. I don't know. What do you got on that, Patrick? Comments on Cameron's statements?
Yeah, now I've seen Cameron on Tucker's show. Tucker brings him on because he likes to have the base black guy. I mean, he does. And we are in the midst of massive political turmoil and turbulence, and there should be some smart politicians out there, even if for purely self-interested reasons, take advantage of this opportunity. And like I was talking about last night on whether it was our part one or part two of the Patrick and Jeremy show, engage in political entrepreneurship. And I last night I was talking about Rand Paul, who I guess he wants to position himself as kind of a champion of this cause. And there's a big demand for champions. And we need some of these people to with their platforms and with their offices to come out and take our side, at least in, small specific ways.
Amen to that. And I've seen in my local social media here that Rand Paul bit that we did on your show today and on my show last night, that's been shared and shared, and people are getting that was a big turning point, I think, in the public being able to voice what they've been feeling for 18 months. And because my student, Zyklon, he showed up at school today, no mask. And he was texting me. He's like, bro, I'm the only one without a mask here today. And I'm like, just stay strong. Nobody said a word. The superintendent and the teachers and the principal, they already knew. They already felt this push. And tomorrow, gauging by the parents there tonight, nobody's going to wear a mask. Hey, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more analysis on In Plain Sight.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3. Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Okay, welcome back. Welcome back to a special broadcast on Wednesday night. I'm detouring from my usual religious discussion. And don't get me wrong, people, I can pick up the Bible and start preaching without any prep. But we're going to dedicate this to the school board meeting tonight and the pushback on COVID, sort of a continuation of Patrick and I's commentary from last night and today on the National Bugle. And so the question, and by the way, a lot of churches canceled services and attended this school board meeting. So that's how important it was to the local churches. For those of you that say Christianity is cupped, it's not so much around here. But I think the reason we're seeing the pushback here at the school board meetings at the school level, in these rural areas, the schools and the courtrooms are the only places that they can really enforce this, the masks, and by observation, it's going to be the only place that they'll be able to enforce the vaccine in the future. Wherever they can enforce the masks, they will enforce the vaccine. And so, because you can walk around in these rural areas in West Kentucky and in many other states, restaurants, grocery stores, maybe some people are wearing masks, but they never enforced it. Even last year at the apex of, you know, mask tyranny, a lot of the shoppers were wearing masks, but if you walked in without one, they weren't kicking you out, not even in the Walmarts. So I think that the system understands that this is the pressure point, is the schools, the main pressure point, because not everybody's going to be in court. That's going to be a very small fraction of the population, but almost everyone is going to have their kids or grandkids in school. So I don't know. What do you got on that, Patrick, on the schools being the point of pushback?
Well, schools and the public school system, but not just the public school system, but, schools in general, K through 12 schools, are just an enormous part of our society. And if you look at, say, a municipality's budget, Well, typically, the school budget is even separate. It might not be under the, it's under the control of a school board as opposed to being under the control of a mayor or a city council or town council. But even in big cities that need big police forces, the school budget can be larger than the rest of the city budget put together. So it's enormous. We spend a lot of money on education. There's an awful, just think, you spent 13 years in K-12 school. Most people did. That's a big hunk of everybody's life. And then if you're a parent, then you're spending another 13, 15, 18 years dealing with schools. It's an enormous part of people's lives. And for most people, if you're a parent, your life revolves around raising your kid, and it's so difficult now, and the schools aren't making it easy. And then when the schools go along with or engage in this absolute nonsense of forcing kids to wear masks all day, and everybody knows that's not healthy, you just hear, just not even scientific studies, but just hear about skin problems, teeth problems, kids who had never gotten cavities before, and now they're getting all these cavities, psychological problems, all sorts of problems that are coming from the masks and everything else. And in 2020, people were off balance, but now what's happening is they're seeing that this actually is intended to be a new normal, and they don't like it. And it's back to school season, and the back to school season that just might be the that dry tinder that the spark needs to create a massive flame.
Speaking to that point, what I really appreciated was how the parents in this meeting acted as a collective. There were a few parents that said, we're not going to comply and we'll just pull our kids out. But the majority of the parents were getting up and taking the mic and saying, we own this school. We pay taxes. We are the school. You're representing us. And we want the school as a whole, to push back on this narrative and for our kids to keep going here. And that was very refreshing seeing. And the crowd was predominantly white. I didn't see any people of color there, and they certainly were welcome. And I know there's people of color in our community that feel the same way, but it was a predominantly white working class crowd that was thinking as a collective. This is what we were talking about today on your show and last night on mine, is that this line in the sand of the COVID regime, it's forcing, if nothing else, whites and patriots alike to think as a collective to push back against this. Hey, we'll be back on the other side, on In Plain Sight.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC. Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Okay, we're back. Back to In Plain Sight, the dynamic duo discussing pushback and how it starts. It's starting at the school level. And I'm hoping this momentum will give restaurants and small business owners, you know, the courage that they need to push back when the lockdowns are brought back into Kentucky and many other states, because, you know, we can do this, right? That's what they say on the people that support the vaccine. We can do this. Well, we can do this. We can push back on this. You know, we can show them that we're not going to bow to the health departments and to the COVID regime, and we're going to just continue life as usual. So that's kind of where we're at there. Also, I did want to open up the show to calls. If you want to call in, 512-248-8252, and let us know if you've experienced any school board meetings or just your comments in general. But anyway, Patrick, let's go on with our train of thought here, pushing back, and this thing on the YouTube, or this thing on the school level, going on into and giving momentum to other businesses to push back. What do you think about that?
Yeah, because you know, everything's been built on a house of cards, because you've got all of these emergency measures, so-called temporary measures, all of these extraordinary measures over what? Over a disease or a virus that lots of people can't even see evidence that it exists. But at any rate, regardless of that, is obviously really not that big of a deal. You know, it's not like Ebola, where you just start bleeding through all your orifices. It's not like the flesh-eating bug that every now and then you hear about. There was a famous leading politician from Quebec province in Canada back in the 1990s who got this bug, and within 6 hours it ate all the flesh off his leg, and they had to amputate his leg. It's not leprosy. It's not something super, super scary. We know lots of people who at least have been told they had it, tested positive, and maybe a few of them had a hard time. In general, they didn't have such a hard time. It wasn't sicker than they'd ever been in their life. Right? I mean, everybody's been sick in their life, and this doesn't seem to be, for the most part, making people sicker than they've ever been. So that's a house of cards right there. But the thing is, regardless of all of that, they don't have the right to take our liberty away from us. And George Washington had smallpox. Smallpox was a disease that was the leading cause of death for centuries on most continents, and he had it, and lots of people had it, and everybody knew about it, and they didn't incorporate some sort of health tyranny into the Constitution. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
That was the mentality, and I'm going to say it again because it feels good to say it, the collective mentality. These people were thinking and acting in a collective manner. That was the collective mentality. We don't care what this is. It's not worth giving up all of our freedoms and making our children's lives miserable. That was the theme in the school meeting tonight. And I would suspect that's the theme in many school board meetings going on across West Kentucky and maybe even the nation tonight and this week. So, hopefully that takes hold.
And, you say the collective mentality, and that's what we need. The only way you get to a collective mentality in, let's just say, a community like yours is by having a critical mass of individuals who are willing to talk like that. Now, in a community like yours that's rural, it may be easier because probably people are less impacted by the various propaganda being bought off, this and that. But once we get collective minds going in various regions, then to get more of a nationwide kind of collective mind, that's what we need. We need a critical mass of communities that are not going to take it anymore and making it known in no uncertain terms. You get a critical mass of that, and that's the way out, if there is a way out.
Well, and it plays right into what we were talking about forming a parallel society. That is not beyond the pale anymore. That is very evidently happening before our eyes, possibly. Because in these big cities like Lexington, Louisville, Frankfort, here in Kentucky, this is, they're not going to do these things in these big cities. They're just going to go along. But you're going to find these rural areas are just going to, that they're going to stand up, and they're going to be such numbers that the state is not going to be able to deal with them. And I think the state will eventually just say, well, let's just, implement power where we can, and maybe let these other rural areas just float under the radar. That's realistically where I think it's going. Of course, the worst case scenario is they come in and they close the schools down, or they try to. But I don't want a Fed post. I'm telling you what I've heard people say after this meeting was released is that people are like willing to show up armed in the parking lot of the school to stop the school from being shut down. This is like revolutionary talk.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard anybody, like a collective group of people, talk like this. And I'm just reporting.
Well, so you go back to Fort Sumner, the start of the Civil War, and Dixon, what's his first name? The famous white civil rights lawyer who's friends with Don Black and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Sorry. Well, his name slips my mind, which it shouldn't. But at any rate, he made the point that, you know, really, things didn't have to come to blows there. For instance, the Lincoln administration could have just ignored the situation for a while. There wasn't, or the Southerners could have, you know, either way, either side didn't have to actually go to blows. It could have dragged on for a while, and you know, who knows what would have happened eventually. And with the fake Biden administration, it really is a fake administration, and I don't think we've ever had such questions about the legitimacy of power in Washington, D.C. in our entire republic. You know, even in the Civil War, I don't think people were questioning Lincoln's legitimacy. They just thought that they had the right to go their own way, and there wasn't anything in the Constitution saying they couldn't, so what the heck? But here we've got this real widespread doubts about the legitimacy of the Biden administration. And, you know, even with you can think most people, if you're old enough, you remember the 2000 election with Bush and Gore. And there were lots of people who in the aftermath thought, well, Gore really won. But they thought it was a very close election, and really Gore won by a few votes if you counted it. But it wasn't that they thought there was systemic cheating, right? And people accepted the legitimacy of the Bush government even if they really, really disliked it. But people don't accept the legitimacy of this government. And then plus, this government is just going on in, you know, it's pursuing agendas that are so clearly, you know, not just unconstitutional in the old-fashioned way, but designed to destroy the republic.
We're reaching levels of unconstitutional government that shouldn't even be possible. And
we're long thought impossible.
One more point on that, and we got a couple of callers, a new caller that I don't recognize too. One more point to what you were saying. I didn't hear anybody in the crowd talk about Biden or Trump or anything. It was all about the local governor, Andy Beshear. And almost everyone that took the mic expressed the fact that they feel that he is illegitimate and that he is illegitimately like putting out these executive orders. They don't recognize his authority. Mm-hmm. And that in light of Rand Paul coming out and making his statements, I think we have a perfect storm here for a real political revolution, if even in the rural areas.
Yeah. There's a crisis of legitimacy, for sure.
Well, hey, we got a couple of callers. Let's take these calls, Patrick, since I've got you for the night, and I appreciate you joining me. I know you're busy. We got Tyler from North Canton, Ohio, and I've not heard Tyler call in before. Tyler, welcome to the show.
How you doing, man?
Doing great.
Has anyone been listening to Mike Lindell's things he's been doing for the last 2 days? This is absolutely amazing. There is voter fraud, proof of it. It's going to be brought forth. It's going to happen. Trump is still our president. He is still our president. I'm not giving up on the guy. This Biden guy, all the things he's doing is absolutely terrible. It makes me sick to my stomach. 5% is going towards the bill they just put out today. You got to be kidding me. That means the rest is going to be squandered back into their bank accounts like they've been doing forever. Voter fraud as usual. Take us right down the road of hell. And that's where they're taking us. And I'm tired of it, and so is the rest of America. We've had enough. We're not going to take any more. And if the people don't support these audits in all 50 states, if they don't do it, there's going to be a revolution like they've never seen before. And I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
And I feel it. I appreciate Mike Lindell and his push against the election hoax. What I disagree with Lindell on is he's trying to paint this narrative of China hacked the elections, and I think that's really not doing us any good. You know, he needs to be addressing that our own government did this to us, using COVID-19 as the excuse for mail-in ballots. That's where I think he should go with that. I do, though, however, appreciate anyone that calls out the election hoax. And I think these people, this pushback on the COVID in the schools, the COVID mandates, that dovetails, because everybody understands that it was because of the government's using the COVID cloak that they were able to hoax this election with the mail-in ballots. And so, you know, they're seeing that's the same thing. In other words, the same government that hoaxed the election is now, like, making our kids' lives miserable, and we're pushing back. I think that's the direction. Yeah. Let me kick it to Patrick.
I agree with part of that, but you know what? But I think that Trump was thrown a really bad hand, and he was screwed if he did, and he was screwed if he didn't. And if he didn't have to go along with it, he wouldn't have. But he had to, because his hands were tied, because they would have blamed it on him. They would have blamed it on him. He came out and the cures and stuff that he said, and his hands were tied. He wanted to come out and say, but you know what? He would have been attacked from every different side. I'm surprised they didn't try to assassinate him more than they already did. I'm hearing they tried to take him out 24 times.
Let's kick it over to Patrick to get comments on what you said. Go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, I'm completely sympathetic to Trump, and I did everything I could between November 6th and January 6th, whenever it was, to try to inform people of not just the election fraud, but the remedy that was available up until January 6th. Trump really, you know, there are people who say he was controlled and this and that, and I don't go along with it. I think he did his best. It was a difficult task, and he's my favorite president, but he failed in his task. But that doesn't mean he's a bad person.
Patrick, we should demand a revote on paper.
Well,
and let the true numbers prevail.
It was obviously a fake.
Just let it ride. You know what I'm saying? A true vote. Voter ID.
Yeah. Right now,
voter ID, you have to live here. You're not a legal alien, right? This, that, and the other. Everything that's going on in this country, we're about to lose our country if we don't do something really major
right now. Issue at hand right now is the COVID tyranny, because we can't stand up and say we're not going to wear masks that interfere with our breathing all day long. If we can't say you're not going to stick that into our arms and put unknown substances, gene therapies into our arms, if we can't even do that, we're not going to be able to get a new election. So we got to deal with
Patrick. I agree with you 100%. The damn masks don't do anything. They don't do anything. The scientific facts have come out about that. But it's less than, what, half of a micron that goes through a mask and it'll give it to you anyhow? It's useless. Why are we even messing with this? You know what I'm saying, Patrick? This is insanity what we're living through right now. I know so many people, we are so done. We're done. A little bit more. I mean, the line in the sand has been crossed a long time ago. We're not going to take any more. If they push any more, they're going to get exactly what they want. And I think this is what they want. They want a civil war.
Well, let's do our pushback, politically, and maybe we can avoid that. Appreciate the call, Tyler. Great to hear from a new caller. And let's move on to our other callers. Let's see, we got a. Let's take one more new caller, and then we'll move through the rest of the list. We got like three lined up. Ed from Chicago. Ed from Chicago, welcome to the show.
The best group
you guys are my Cape Crusaders. But anyway, hey, I get, in my opinion, Trump is one of the players. He's, you know, it's like us against them, and it's not us against just the Democrats. It's us against all of them. Trump is part of he's part of the scheme, in my opinion. He was put there by, you know, the powers that shouldn't be, and he's the father of the vaccine, and now, you know, all these people have this great hope in Trump. No, it's us against all of them, and that's kind of the way I look at it. Guys, got any comments?
Well, it certainly is us against them now, because Trump is kind of out of the way. And regardless of what you think of him, his time is gone and he served his purpose. Patrick, what do you got?
Yeah, I was a big supporter of Trump during his presidency. I never liked him before he announced running for president, because he just seemed like a kind of a, you know, big ego maniac. And probably, you know, maybe he was. I mean, he had lots of faults. But I agree with Don Black, who thought that he wound up being inspired by his own followers. And I do think he tried. And
okay.
A lot of that effort was probably just because he's an egomaniac and he's president and he wanted his presidency to mean something. And that he tried, he didn't really know what he was doing. And it was much more difficult than anybody could have imagined. So I still have sympathy for him. But, you know, most likely his time has passed, but we'll see.
Appreciate it, Ed. Thanks for the call, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir. Let's go on to James from Vancouver. James, welcome to the show.
Good evening. Congratulations on your stand.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But Biden does not control the people that will ramp it up when they decide to ramp it up. And I suspect they will come after your group individually, because, of course, you were united at the meeting. But these guys don't work like that. They're like rats, okay? And as soon as your back is turned or what have you, then they're going to come after you. And my comment would be, think about portable radar. Portable radar. Okay? This I saw this years ago at weapons shows. Portable radar, or something that's going to tell you that there's something in the sky 5-10 miles away and inbound. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I sort of do. What I do understand, what you're talking about, what I do fully understand, I don't know about the portable radar, but when you talk about how they're going to attack us like rats, you're right. One of the things that the lawyer at the school board meeting said is that if one child gets sick in the school, that there can be a lawsuit brought against the school board for not enforcing the mask mandate. And our Kentucky Supreme Court would uphold that lawsuit. And so that is what we got to worry about. You're right. They will attack us like rats. They will not attack us as a collective. They will attack the school board, individual members.
So they're going to hold the school board liable. In that case, in order to win that, you're going to need expert opinion to be on your side, to be able to persuade a jury that there was nothing wrong. You didn't do anything that would cause this situation. But these people are all crazy. Okay.
Appreciate it, James. Patrick, you got anything on that?
I'll hold my tongue. We got a couple more callers.
Okay. Ken from New York, last caller. You're finishing out the show. It's all on your shoulders, guy.
Yes. I think the school board is exactly the right place, because I think these people are budding politicians. They're inexperienced. Every time I see a budget vote, or rather a board vote, it always seems to be people I've never heard of before. And I think what happens is, some time ago we were talking about going after, like, commissioners and county boards and such, and they have more control over the budget. They can influence the police. They always seem to have the police nearby, or they can get the sheriff to do what they want. But I don't think that's the case with the school boards. And it does appear that they are being sent running whenever they're confronted. And the communists, what do they always talk about? The children, we have to mold the children. And any dictatorship, they always go after the children. That's why I think that's precisely the right place to go after these people.
Agreed, Ken. Appreciate it. Patrick?
The children. It's become such a cliche, and they're destroying the children.
Well, I believe the children are our future. We should treat them right and let them show the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
Yeah, and you sing that while you're high on cocaine and crack or whatever it was.
Who did that song?
Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston, yes. The late Whitney Houston. Still a good song, regardless. Some of our best musicians live their life on cocaine.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Unfortunately. Well, I appreciate it, Patrick. This is three Patrick and Jeremy's in a row. What did the audience do to deserve that? They're just the greatest audience ever, right?
They are the greatest audience ever. And RBN is so important. And somebody to me was saying, I don't know how RBN can stay on the air. And I hate to think like that. And it's not a given. So
get that credit card out, get that checkbook out, and let's give to the station. Appreciate you, Patrick. I've been told that you give me legitimacy in emails. So thanks.
Great.
We'll see you tomorrow night on In Plain Sight with William.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.